Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us. We have our co-hosts, Nick and Randy and Drew here. How's it going today?
What's up?
I missed you guys.
Yo,
it's been a while.
That last episode came out when it did, but we recorded that really early in advance because I was on some travel. So it feels like I haven't seen you guys again for a while. It feels like another Christmas break.
I know. There's too many breaks in between these.
I know.
How are you, Nick?
I'm doing well. Thanks for finally getting around to me. Yeah, I did. Thank you for the Mac. I really appreciate it.
Mr. You know? Hashtag, I don't need a Mac or whatever you were saying.
To be fair, what I was doing over the summer did not require a Mac. This new job requires a Mac.
Because this new job involves you having Logic.
Yeah. You know, I will be using lots of Logic in my daily life now. I didn't have it before, so thank you, Randy. Now I have Logic in my life.
Go to sleep.
I just want to know, what was the exact reason? Because you were very adamant that you could do everything with the iPad, and then you got this job, and now it needs a Mac. And I just want to know, what was the drawing line? Because I'm sure you tried. I'm sure you made an effort to say, no, I bet I could do everything with the iPad, and there was some point where your boss or whatever was like, no. What was that point?
Well, that point was we were using Slack to do. Okay. But it's basically my new job's completely online, digital. No.
Me too.
Face to face.
We have so much in common.
We should make a podcast.
Oh my goodness! I'm watching chemistry happen right in front of my eyes. Oh my god. When a man loves a woman.
That's not it.
Anyway,
nope.
It was when I was trying to screen share my screen. I was able to pull up Excel documents and everything I needed to, but Slack on the desktop has a screen sharing feature where you can share screens between on like a VoIP call. And iPad does not support that, and that was the point where I was like, I need to switch over to a Mac. Thankfully, I was actually visiting my grandparents while that was all happening, so I was able to hop on my grandpa's MacBook and kick him off. So it was a very seamless transition from my boss's perspective. I'm not even sure if he knew that I was on an iPad before, which is the way I'd like to see it, but I think he listens to these shows now. So how you doing, Daniel? Appreciate it.
Hi, Nick and Sweeney's boss. Are you hiring? I want to work from home. I don't have a master's in accounting, but I'm funny.
This is sometimes funny. True.
If that accounting firm needs any music done,
I'm your guy.
Let Randy know.
Yeah, I will
accounting
drop
firm.
That out.
I can make some marketing stuff for you. Make some music and you know,
or whatever. Oh, I see. Would you be interested in a cellular MacBook if they made one?
Oh, yes, please. That top of my list. That would actually allow us. Yeah. If they made a cellular Mac, I would be able to do live podcasts. Because right now, at this moment, all you're thinking that it was my iPad that wasn't allowing us to do live podcasts. It's my internet that's allowing us not to do live podcasts. Unfortunately, hotspots are a little bit too laggy for that. There's a little bit too much latency, so we can't do that. But if there was a direct cellular connection to the MacBook, and I could have the same speeds I have on my iPhone on my MacBook over LTE. I'd be all over that. Randy, you have a point.
That would be interesting.
I have a question.
Oh, you have a question,
not a point.
Excuse me.
In your current configuration now, could you go to a location outside of your home office where you can connect to more reliable, like Starbucks or something, or maybe even more quiet? Is that feasible for you if you wanted to do live anything for that matter? And it doesn't even have to be within the context of the podcast, but just in general, if you needed a better, more reliable connectivity is for your work, for streaming, for you name it, is that possible for you where you're at?
Yeah, so our current my current internet setup is over total high-speed wireless. They are... Right. I think it's AM or FM band internet. So there's like a huge radio tower, like less than a mile away. I can see it out my window.
We have something like that here too.
Yeah. And
never heard of it.
And it's basically, it's decent. So basically what they sell you is they sell you, you know, 6 megabits down and 3 up. And at first I was like, how am I going to be able to work on that? I can't even live on that.
That's
no way.
Great.
Yeah. And then my dad, I'm living with my parents still, you know, being a super prosperous young adult, saving up that dough. But I'm living with my dad, and he is also works 100% remotely, and he does VPNs and VoIPs all day. And so he was on it, and he was using up most of it. And my sister goes to school online, so she was, you know, doing classrooms and live streams and all this stuff. And I'm like, how are we all going to fit on this teeny little internet? And it's like the Rolls-Royce internet plan that they got there at over at Total High Speed. Like, oh, whoa, you have 6 megabits down. You can like do 2 VPNs and watch Netflix all at the same time. I'm like, yeah, buddy, no, thank you. I know what internet is. But it's interesting what they do. They provide every node on the network with 6 megabits down and 3 up. So regardless of whether or not my dad's on it or my sister's on it or I'm on it or, you know, anyone else is on it, I'm still getting that exact same speed, you know, plus or minus a megabit. Which is helpful.
Yeah.
So I can actually do VoIP calls and download files and do stuff for my job perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. But the video calls is where it's still having problems, which is why I'm calling you on my cellular iPad. So congratulations.
That's pretty basic internet, but I'm glad it's the same speed. I'm glad you don't have to share it with everyone.
Exactly. That was what I was into.
That was our big problem growing up.
It would clog up in 2
exactly.
seconds.
Exactly. 6 down, you get like 1 iPhone on the network, and it's like just checking email, and it's like, okay, now no one has any internet.
Yeah, no more.
So that's what I thought it was going to be.
Just reminds
actually
me how
good.
Stupid 5G is.
Exactly.
Give me good
Does Verizon have... You should maybe contact Verizon. I hear they have excellent customer service because they could probably hook you up with some type of what are those
thing.
Called? Those mobile
an
SIM
extender,
card.
You can get a.
The
a,
thing is,
plug
those,
it into your
those things are data capped. So sure,
but
they'll give you a little box.
T-Mobile's is not, just saying.
Okay.
And technically, Drew's on the T-Mobile network, even though he's using Mint.
He's on the Ryan Reynolds network. Come on.
He's on the Ryan Reynolds.
Deadpool. Deadpool carrier. Which I've opted for that 8 gigabyte plan now.
Ooh,
by the way,
you've upgraded. Tell me about this. Why have you gotten? I think you were at 3, right? You were at 3 before.
So I have some more. Well, I'm still on the 12 gig initial 90 day plan, where the first 3 months are 12 gigs. But I was looking at my usage, and I was nearing the 3. And what changed my mind was we recently were like, you know, we probably don't use that much data at home. So let's not opt for the unlimited plan anymore. So we took that off, and it saved us $50 a month for Xfinity.
Yeah.
And that was a bad idea because now we're going over. they give you 1,024 gigs to use for your Wi-Fi each month. So it's about a terabyte. And we were looking at our data history recently, and I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm going over a terabyte. So for the first month, it was okay. But then this month, you know, we still have like a week left, and there's only like 10% of the data left.
Yikes.
So that made me switch to my phone cellular more for like, because I used a ton of data. I was being careless about it. I just watched as much crap as I possibly could, even like. If I wasn't even watching it, I would just leave stuff on. So now I'm like, okay, I'll be more careful and maybe listen to more podcasts instead of watch, you know, 3 hour long YouTube videos. So I did that on cellular, and now I'm like, you know what? I could get 8 gigs a month with Mint for 2 years, still for free, and I still won't have a cell phone bill until 2022, March. So I'm like, you know what? That's far enough away. I think I'll just stick with that. I don't need it to be 2.5 years for free. I can live with 8 gigs because that's more than twice the data for not much difference in pay, because we're going to be in a very different place financially in 2 years. So I think I'm not worried about 2022 expenses.
And you just make another Mint video and make all that back, and you'll have another 2 years for free.
Like 2 years with Mint, and then refer everyone again if they're still doing that.
If I switch, which won't happen, I don't know if we talked. Did we talk about it on air or off? I don't remember.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, yeah. So it won't happen anytime soon now. But if that time comes and they still have these type of plans at the time, I would definitely still go to 12 gig, just because I know my data. I like the idea. What's so interesting about you, Drew, and what I love about it, and it kind of keeps you honest and authentic at the same time, is that it's fair to say you don't have to do this. You can afford unlimited if you wanted it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The
for
fact
sure.
that you the fact that you choose to, because at least from my point of view, I see it as a challenge. I love I love
it. Is a challenge.
I love the idea of challenging yourself without without, you know, you're not compromising who you are, but you're practicing better habits. And overall, the fact that you went from a year ago, we were just talking before we started recording, you went from, you know, 2018, Drew, was, I will buy it all, I don't care. From then in 2019, you started winding down, and now you're getting right. you're getting more fine-tuned, precise with it. I know my habits still enough that I would need probably 12 just for the buffer that I don't want to go over, because then once, like you were talking about earlier, if I remember correctly, once you go over it, that's when it's no longer financially feasible for, it doesn't make sense if you start going over your limit, even though it technically won't turn off your internet. That for you to get actual working internet, you have to pay more on that spot. I would feel more comfortable at 12 because I think on my lowest days, or for the month, I should say, I'm pushing 6 gigs on data. Average, I'm around 8 to 10. So to have a little bit of a buffer. But I like the idea of, like, you're changing your mindset that podcasts, or what if I download while on Wi-Fi? Like, there's ways, there's workarounds. Like with YouTube Premium, you can download these videos. I downloaded like 10 hours worth of everything from my flights that I had this a couple weeks ago, and then what I have coming up. I want to have it on the standby, so I changed my habits to where I'm like, I'm not just trying to download whatever whenever. It's interesting how much further you can take things if you just put a little pre-planning into it, little thought
right
before executing. And I feel like that's applicable to even just mobile tech as a whole, not just data plans, but I feel like you can probably go further with your dollar if you really think about, do I need to buy this phone or that phone or whatever?
Right,
there are times where I want to cut back, and I love my 11 Pro. I love the midnight green, and for that, like, I know I'll hold on to this phone forever. Even if I don't use it, I'll try to keep it in the family, give it to my wife. I want to hold on to this phone. But the idea of the SE2 or 9 or whatever they're going to call it coming up, it's knowing how cheap
it is. That's
going
to do well.
I want to check it out. Ooh,
I'm going to pick one up for sure.
Yeah, what does the modern day specs look like for this? I'm excited about it, because my first thing is, how can I challenge myself to live off of this? It's
I'd like to switch to it for a week or two. I want to just go back and see if I can get by with it.
I'm biting my tongue over here. Challenge. I don't have a tongue left. I'm going to start talking now before it's all gone. I am not on board with anything that Randy and Drew just talked about, because I like having it the exact opposite. Okay, I'm going to get unlimited data. How much can I use? How much value can I get out of this unlimited plan? 600.
You're the reason why they raised the prices, Nick.
Yeah, I am, definitely. I 100% agree with that. But it's still cheaper.
Verizon would do that regardless. We know it.
This is.
They change their plans the every other week. They're like, let's switch it over here.
Well, that's because they see what Aunt Sweeney's bill line. Like, oh my, guys, we have to raise it. This one guy's clocking
this
our
guy
whole
used a terabyte on his phone alone.
This is true. Actually, 600 and something gigabytes on my phone and 1.3 on my iPad so far. So.
You can bring down the whole infrastructure on Verizon, so they have to adjust the prices just based off of your usage.
I'm working on that.
I'm not
part.
Shocked because if I didn't have Wi-Fi, I would probably be in the same boat. If I was using cellular for everything, I would likely have sticked with Verizon Unlimited. But because Wi-Fi is generally cheaper and easier to get unlimited,
but
that's why
it's not unlimited power. Unlimited.
It can be
power.
I hope I don't have to. We may have to go back to the unlimited option, which is definitely more expensive, but if it prohibits the amount of work I can do, then it ends up not being worth it because like the amount of videos or live streams I could do extra that result in more income it'll pay for the thing itself. But that's kind of been our theme more recently anyways, not just with mobile tech, but more so just finance and figuring out I think it all comes down to not taking everything for granted, which was probably what I was doing in 2018, was assuming that everyone watching my videos in Google being okay with paying me despite me bashing them, and all the streams of income we have, just assuming that that's going to be there forever.
Downfall.
Right, right. Not assuming that all of that is just going to keep coming as long as I as long as I post content. And just taking that is like, this is a huge blessing. I'm super grateful for it. It's amazing that this can be a job and that I can make a living off of this. And I'm super thankful for all of the people that have chosen to watch or support me financially. And just say, okay, because I'm grateful for that, and I do believe that that could all go away someday, I'm going to try to rearrange life and rearrange finances in a way that we can still do the amazing reviews or talk about the products that we want to talk about and get hands-on impressions, but we want to do it in a way that we're not taking everybody's support for granted and just assume that you guys are just going to keep giving and you're going to keep watching no matter what, because you might get bored of me someday. I know that.
Some of you probably already have.
Thank you. Thank you, Nick.
Anytime.
Just assuming that we can still do all those fun things, because I enjoyed having a big office. I don't prefer having a smaller office, but it makes less financial sense to invest so much of each month's income onto the background, and realize that, I don't think people are watching me because of the background. You know, that's not the reason people.
So I'm not anymore.
In fact, I was watching old videos recently, and I saw some people commenting on, and those walls look terrible. They need a new coat of paint and that kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, they're never happy. You know, whatever.
This is true. You never might make the internet happy.
No, you can't. So might as well make something or invest in something that's a bit more permanent and have them complain. Rather, invest in something that's not permanent and have them complain, because that'll happen regardless.
Like, this is crap, yes, but it's my crap, so it's different.
It's my crap. This crap I get to keep. It's not just a monthly expense that
it's my pile of trash,
never will
so
return
okay.
back.
I think I've right. chosen a few points in my life where I will go all out, but other than that, like, I don't go all out. Like, my phone, yes,
what's
I'm going to have a nice phone.
What's the one thing that you would go all out on every single year?
Phone.
My phone and data plan. Phone and data plan. That was that two separate
For me,
things?
Just the iPhone.
Just the iPhone.
AirPods.
Really?
Oh, okay.
But you're using regular AirPods.
No, I'm not.
Look. Oh, never mind.
That's the pros.
Let the record show that Andrew
they were
Erickson
great, by the way.
Has
I went
just
on,
taken off his shirt and is now stabbing Phyllis with a spoon.
I am really laughing because I'm an Office fan. If no one's seen The Office, that is so bizarre what you just said right now.
Right.
But I had a great story because my wife had a job interview recently.
Ooh,
a
fancy snancy.
Not a new job, a promotion interview in the company she works for that's much higher up. It went well, so that's the end of the story. It went well. We'll hear results back later. But anyway, she was really nervous about it, and she wanted to practice. So we did a voice memo on the iPhone where I fake interviewed her and asked her a bunch of generic interview questions as she answered them, and she wanted to hear herself go through it. So we decided to go for a long walk up on a mount, like a mountain hill type trail thing.
Okay.
And so I gave her my AirPods 2 and I kept my AirPods Pro, and we used the iOS 13 audio sharing thing to both listen to the interview as we walked. It wasn't long. It was like a 3-mile walk, and the interview was like 30-40 minutes or so. And we didn't listen to the interview the whole time, but I was walking with her, and at first there were other people, so I had transparency mode on, and then I was like, you know what, it's just kind of wind right now, I'm going to turn on ANC, and then just it's the best thing ever, especially outside where there was like lots of stupid nature sounds, you know.
See, I never
want to hear
outside,
any of that.
How dare you?
I don't have to worry about that.
but I enjoyed using them on that, and they didn't fall out the entire time.
Ooh,
and I didn't
good
have to touch them or adjust them, so I think it might
they
be a temperature thing, I'm not
time.
Sure. When I talk to you guys like this, for some reason they slip more often. But on that walk,
my voice is a little more loud in your ear, and so it's using the little speaker thing and wiggling itself out of your ear because my voice is so loud.
No, what it is that when you're moving and you're sweating and blood circulating, everything starts to swell more, so your ears actually close in more.
Get smaller.
On the,
Okay, thank
like
you,
one
Dr.
of those Avatar
Randy.
Aliens.
A little bit, yeah. Humans are gross.
That's weird because I'm sweating right now because it's so hot in here. But
I thought you were sweating because you were excited
to
talk to me.
If it's hot, I can leave.
Oh!
That's not
thank
funny.
You, thank you. Thank you. I'm here all day.
Anyway, latest hour. Update on AirPods Pros. They're still great. I'm enjoying them. As am I enjoying my 11 Pro Max, although I had some terrible heating issues with it recently.
Ooh.
I don't know if you guys did.
What version are you on?
I'm on the public beta, though.
Oh, that is
so I think that's part of the problem, because the regular public version was so terrible, and it was so buggy that I decided to switch to the public beta, and it was more stable up until recently. And then it was doing nothing. I would literally have no apps open, and it would just get incredibly hot, and the battery would drain really quickly. And then I'd restart it, and it would be fine. But I'm on a new version now, and it's not doing that. So
weird. I guess we're good. I refuse to do any betas on this phone because I love it so much.
Oh, look at you treating your phone with respect.
Dude,
legit.
Not, it's never seen a case or anything like that. I don't. This is my favorite.
I have no case.
This is my favorite design. Yeah, but you're used to no cases. I would.
This is new to you.
This is new to me in the sense. Well, no, the iPhone XR, I was case. No, that one was. That one was caseless and like pocketless.
The matte glass, yes. The frosted glass, feels more durable than the glossy glass. Do you feel more comfortable like leaving it on a table or a desk?
No.
I know Nick throws it around, but
yeah, I'm not
I
the
feel
best
better about
desk.
It.
I am doing it right now on holding it and purposely letting it slide, and it feels like the frosted part is more slippery.
Yes.
And
I said that day one. That's my point, Randy. You
I don't
can't
like
steal
I don't
it.
Like
you
that's
royalties.
More slippery. I wish I had the actual matte texture, but I get why it doesn't.
Do you guys miss the glossy backs?
No, yes. No. I want all things frosted. It's just, it's slippery. The real problem, what they need to do with hopefully 12 is just stop giving it the old iPhone 6 corners. Give me iPhone 5. Give me
stop
4.
Speaking heresy, Randy.
No.
It's the most beautiful part of an iPhone.
The only thing that would make this exact phone perfect would be if I had the sharp edges again. Because it was grippier. I love it.
I feel like it wouldn't be as nice because we do so many gestures now. I feel like it would cut into the thumb more to have
that is true.
Pick
edges,
up an SE or whichever mock up demo whatever you have. Just fiddle with it. I don't think it's as aggressive
as I did the iOS clone gestures on Android when I had my OnePlus 7 Pro. And every time I swiped up on that had a sharp edge, and I remember it feeling
well,
more of like
Android's
cutting
sharp
in.
Edge is not the same as Johnny Ives.
Johnny Ives does not
focus.
Work at Apple anymore. He works
he's
at Lightroom.
You better stop rejoicing that he's gone. How dare you? That's our Lord and Savior.
I think they made a lot of good choices that probably
Elon
weren't
is our Lord
his.
And Savior, Randy. Another podcast.
You think what?
Look at the Trash Can Mac Pro and look at the new Mac Pro and tell me which one Johnny Ive probably designed.
Ooh. This is true.
Johnny
same
Ive's
with the
team.
Do you think Johnny Ive was more of the 2016 MacBook Pro or more of the 16-inch MacBook Pro that just came out? I feel like
the 2013 MacBook Pro had heavy influences with Steve Jobs still.
No,
so
Johnny Ive was the 2008 MacBook Pro. That was Johnny Ive. His
MacBook
Pro?
No,
I think 2016.
Or MacBook Pro?
Oh, MacBook?
I said MacBook Pro.
MacBook Pro.
With
yeah, Johnny Ive was
the first butterfly keys.
No.
Oh, this whole time I thought we were saying Mac Pro.
Oh, okay.
Well, the first time I was saying Mac Pro. Now I'm saying the 16-inch MacBook Pro is very not Johnny Ive because they went thicker and they went backwards on keyboards because they went to their old design because they knew people were
complaining. I don't believe for a second that has anything to do with Johnny Ive. I think it's the fact that they've changed their business focus as a whole. So maybe it's the COO. I don't even think it's Tim anymore. I think it's his
Jeff
immediate
Williams
leadership
is his
underneath
name?
That.
Randy?
Gosh, you're an owner of the company. You don't know who Jeff is.
Maybe I believe that they've changed their approach because their whole focus in 2019 was just market share, and I think they would have done whatever it took. And the reason why we did not get multiple colored AirPods is it's got me.
I think that's an iconic thing. I think they have something about the look of it. They want that iconic white stem in the ear. That's my guess. Because it's way too successful for them to be like, yeah, you can put a poop emoji on there, but no colors.
Right.
Because that's where we are right now. They will let you engrave a poop emoji on your AirPods, but black pear? Nah, can't do that.
Funny. That's chocolate ice cream, Drew. Come on.
So,
no, it isn't.
So I don't think the thickness of the MacBook Pro had anything to do with Johnny Ive leaving. I think that was inevitable as this, just because the
my guess is he would have been against the 16-inch. That's my prediction.
Maybe.
Because it's wider and thicker, so it would not have been something he would have.
But the bezel,
like, no, we just make it smaller.
The bezel,
he would like the bezel part. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Wider and thicker, maybe. But if the overall integrity of the device was still a solid foundation, then there you go. Did they mess
6S.
Up on the keyboard? Yes, they messed up on the keyboard, and they acknowledged it by reverting back. With that being said, I feel like so many moving parts with it. I think Johnny Ive cares more about the I believe his focus
aesthetic.
Is at the end. No, I think his focus is customer experience before anything else. Mm-hmm. That how mm-hmm. you interact with the product, and if that means the product needs to change, as everything does change, everything's fluid like that, I think he mm-hmm. would have been on board with that, because his vision, his mission statement with it was customer experience before anything else.
So the iPhone 6 was the thinnest iPhone ever. The iPhone 6S was a
still
little bit
is.
Thicker. It still is the thinnest iPhone ever. Mm-hmm. The iPhone 6S fixed the bend gate, which Apple never really officially confirmed.
Almost.
You know,
they did confirm touch disease.
They did confirm touch disease, just like Apple confirmed mm-hmm. the butterfly problems. And so mm-hmm. I feel like it's not unlike Johnny Ive's design team. I'm going to not refer to him as Johnny Ive anymore, because we know now it's not just Johnny Ive sitting in a white room designing products. It's him with 30
Johnny
other
Apple.
People designing products.
Johnny Appleseed.
Johnny Appleseed. there you go. Ooh, very nice.
Let's call him that.
Anyway, I feel like they've kind of already done this 15-inch to 16-inch MacBook Pro change mm-hmm. with the 6 to 6S.
That's what. Oh, okay. So you're saying like the we're sorry upgrade?
Yeah.
Where they do a hardware year that's just like, so we listened this time. You know, so here it is. I felt like the iPhone 11 was kind of like that. I mean, they didn't listen to the 1080p or OLED complaints, but they were like, okay, you said the 750 was a little too much. Okay, now it's 700.
Speaking of the 11.
Like, I remember.
Finish your mm-hmm. thought, Drew. I was going to derail this whole conversation.
I remember John Morrison did a video right when the 10R came out about why he thought the 10R was just slightly too expensive. He said that 750 was just a little bit too much, and it would have been perfect if it was 7. And then the following year, that's exactly what they did. They were like, okay, 700. There
so
you go.
My sister just bought an iPhone 11, and it was pretty much...
Which color?
Red. She wanted product red.
Ooh, that's
so
cool.
It is a beautiful phone, and I have been holding it. And mm-hmm. I want the back of my Pro to be glossy, because it's so beautiful.
Really?
And it's more gritty.
You prefer the glossy back. Interesting.
Looking at it, I would much prefer the matte. But feeling it and holding it, which is what I'm doing 99% of the time with my phone, I really uh-huh. prefer the feel of the matte back glass, because it's just much more mm-hmm. grippy, and I don't know. It feels more tactile. This is nice, too.
Okay.
I mean, I don't mind it, but... the iPhone 11, she was comparing, so she had a 5C before. She was using my old 5C, iPhone 5C.
Oh my God.
16 gigabytes running iOS 10, did not support like anything. She doesn't care. Like she's not a techie at all. She's
now,
the inverse of me.
There's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
I actually saw one at a party I was at recently.
Really?
I saw someone using one.
My sister and I are dyads in the Force.
That's a
I was
relic.
Meant to. So yeah, so she's not into tech, and so she's like, so what phone should I get? And I'm like, I don't know how much you want to spend.
5C.
Yeah. Well, because it finally started pooping out on her. Like, it was having battery degradation, like 70% shutting down, and you know she couldn't have Facebook and. I don't know what other app shows, some school app or something installed at the same time. So she'd have to delete one or install the other because she
That's what my wife's gigs. Going through right now.
Oh,
she's
no.
on a 6.
Oh, no.
So
they're almost the same.
I can't even imagine a 5C.
Wait,
yeah,
wait,
the CPU was pretty similar
back then.
What's
going on with this? You can't have two apps open?
No, installed on her phone. She had 16 gigabytes, which, you know, 12 is taken up by the system.
Yeah.
And
my
so
wife's
she had
on 16 gigs
just
too,
enough space for a few text messages and a few pictures.
That was bad. bad. That was real bad back then. The 16 gig thing, I refuse to admit that that's the same thing as 64 gigs today.
No.
64 gigs today is nowhere near what.
No.
Especially because they were still shipping 16 gig iPhones with the 6S.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that 4K. Could shoot 4K. You could do a 4K video on a 16 gig phone. It was like you could record for 2 minutes pretty much and then you were done.
Yep.
So no, that's not the same thing at all. Storage, like file sizes have gotten a little bit higher, but not that much higher over the past 5-6 years. So yeah. Anyway.
So anyway, she was looking at phones and she decided that she wanted Face ID and swipes because she just wanted to skip the home button. So no iPhone 8s. She was deciding between the XR and the 11 and a used 10. And so...
why'd she go with the 11 instead of the XR?
Really, she wants longevity, which I think is fair. Mm-hmm. She's planning to drive it until this one's 7 years old. But she's had it for 2 weeks and she's 7.
I think XR colors are way better than the 11 colors. Even the reds. The two different reds. I think XR has the best color lineup.
That is true. Mm. She was looking at the XR mainly because of the blue, right? The 11 doesn't have blue, if I remember correctly.
I love that.
Blue. Oh, that's right.
And so she was like, I want that color. Why don't they make the new one in that color? I'm like, I don't know. They just
do you think Apple would get to a point where you can actually like choose your color for the phone in the sense that like out of like a lineup, the same way you can choose your color for a Model S 3?
I don't know. Do you think that at some point Apple would let you put poop emojis on AirPods?
I don't follow. What do you mean the same way you choose a color on your Tesla?
Like, so, do you think
they like a higher price?
Maybe, I don't know.
$2,000 for red on top of the phone.
For product,
that'd be kind of hilarious. The product red version's $2,000.
On top of the $1,400 phone. It's a $2,000
add-on. It's like it's $2,700 for the red one, but the rest are like $700.
I know it's not possible they wouldn't do it because it would clog up the assembly line. The idea of letting you like custom build your iPhone to configure.
I want a white notch with a black bezel and a white aluminum bar and a purple glass back. That's the ideal iPhone.
You mean like the Moto custom website?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that. The thing was
there was
see if it's still
a time where Motorola, I don't know if they still have it, but they let you customize the color of the logo and the bumper and then the back and what material and the front, and they just had like a studio or whatever where you got to design, kind of like the Apple Watch lets you decide which watch band you want with which finish. Is that what you're suggesting?
Cool. Something to that effect. It would be cool. And really, my motive for that is that I would just love to see a red stainless steel border.
The Iron Man one we talked about.
Iron Man.
The
gold, please.
Gold steel, the red back.
Could partner...
Eventually, iPhones are going to get so boring and stale, they'll have to do something like that because we're already getting close.
Sooner? What can we do this year to make that happen sooner next year?
What they need to do in 2020 is everything everyone's asking for. So switch to USB-C, switch to ProMotion, update Face ID and yet make the notch smaller, and then... within about 3 or 4 years, we'll get to a point where there's barely anything to change.
Good.
And they'll have to do color combinations.
It's like they could totally do... what was... Marquez did some video on like a Star Wars phone or something. It's OnePlus or something or other like that. I don't remember what it was. But it had like Star Wars sound effects. It came with like a stock Star Wars wallpaper.
Unbox Therapy.
I don't watch him. I know it wasn't Unbox.
It was like a Galaxy or a OnePlus phone.
Yeah, it was some kind of, you know... off-brand special edition thing. If Apple would do that with Disney stuff, you know, Disney and Apple are tight, they could probably do like a...
Dickinson phone.
Mandalorian.
Baby Yoda phone. It's like light
put
green
Dickinson
with tan.
On the back. It's not a sticker. It's just actually in the glass.
That's just walking advertisement. They wouldn't do that. That's advertisement.
Yeah, I was going to be honest with you.
Like,
I would not get a Star Wars
not
phone.
Brands. Colors. Colors. Like,
yeah, no.
Like,
no, I agree.
Iron Man colors or Thanos colors or like
Apple
Luke
Eye
colors or Ray colors.
I have Boba Fett color.
Yay. Boba Fett colors? Randy is Boba Fett?
Kinda.
Okay. So what does that make me?
It needs to be all scratched
I have
up.
White.
Or not question, but let me say like this. You notice how, I guess it's a question. I don't know, I'll just say it and we'll see how the conversation goes. You notice how our critiques to the iPhone now are very reactionary? We don't have a long press issue anymore. They fixed everything. The volume indicator moved to the left. in camera control settings, and that's all I ever wanted. That's all, now it's like, make Face ID horizontal, make it in any direction like the iPad. Oh, give me ProMotion. These are just us. We're nitpicking. I don't call it nitpicking. We're just being reactionary.
Thank you. Please don't. I'm not nitpicking.
Now.
I'm nitpicking.
This is why this isn't the only podcast we do.
This is true.
It's because it's getting increasingly difficult, and Apple knows it. That's why they're investing in services, is because they know that long term, that's what's going to make the money in the long run. And I think a lot of people's opinion on TV Plus has changed.
I have yet to watch a single thing on TV Plus yet.
What? Okay,
that's good.
Not yet.
Don't get I mean, don't get hooked on it.
I can't blame you. That's
should
not
I?
Bad.
Like, wait, is it possible that I'll get hooked on it?
It's possible.
Yeah, it's possible.
Nick was like right before we started rolling, told me he really enjoyed Little America, and we watched.
I enjoyed Little America, but I stabbed my eyes out both times with For All Mankind. That needs to be on the record. I hate For All Mankind with a passion.
Wow.
And I did finish all of the episodes. We'll talk about that on a different podcast at some point. They messed it all up.
But we're not going to watch it. So
okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it.
Don't watch it. Well, I will tell you all about it. I will tell you the travesties of this.
Knowing that the space fan didn't like it, I'm definitely not going to watch it.
Well, I didn't like it because I'm too much of a space fan. It's not a good problem.
It's not realistic. Is that what you're saying? It's not realistic?
They're trying to be realistic, but they missed the whole point. It's just like... It's like OnePlus trying to make a good phone.
I watched the trailer and I was like, wait, Russia didn't land on the moon first. They're getting it all wrong.
You're supposed to buy into this premise where, you know, it's an alternate universe where the Russians land first and it's an alternate timeline and blah, blah, blah. But like...
It sounds exactly like the writers of Man in the High Castle, where they had a really cool alternate history idea, but then they had no idea where to go with it, and then everyone lost interest. Sorry if you're a big fan of that show.
They have a good idea of where they're going, but they just miss so many little details. Like, I won't get into it here because I'm going to bore everyone.
Almost like it's fiction or something.
What? No, this has to be fact. This is reality.
I just mean that, like, what I realized about TV Plus is that they will never lose the rights to everything on there because they made it themselves. That's kind of the benefit of producing everything in-house. Yeah. It's a downside, but that's one of the benefits of it, is you know that you can't lose those streaming rights. So if you, you know, I'm not a fan of the morning show, but if they win a bunch of awards like they did and they get people invested in those shows, then they don't have to worry about losing them like Netflix does. Or even Disney Plus has pre-existing contracts. Have you noticed that, where they have like a movie or something on there and you click on it and it's like, this will become available in 2022. Because of... pre-existing contracts, we can't stream this yet, even though we produced it, you know.
Oh, like stuff that's contracted with Netflix right now or something like that?
Yeah.
Someone else, yeah. I've seen it happen a couple times. Like, I've looked up a movie, and I'm like, hey, there it is, and it's like coming this summer because of previous contracts. Yeah. They want you to know it will be there, just not yet.
Patience, young Skywalker. Patience.
So there's a lot of people I've seen on Twitter that at least like are enjoying the shows and said that they are enjoying it a lot more than they thought they would, and that makes me think that they might have a shot. I don't think it's as dead in the water as I originally thought.
Hulu had a slow start as well when they first started, and so did Netflix. I think Netflix was just more prominent because they were the first, and House of Cards was just so lucky to be their first original show, and
they
it was
pioneered
such a hit.
It.
Yeah, so...
Well, they're not lucky about House of Cards now.
Oh, no, they'll be like, I'm sorry, what? The British show? The British one? It's great. But, you know, like, I think there was more attention on Netflix because they did pioneer it and they were the first one. But Hulu, I think about Hulu and how successful that became, and that had a really slow start. But I believe much like within the Talos of Network, slow and steady, like, will win the race overall.
Oh my god! Did that really happen?
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's just slow and steady, I guess. Yeah.
Slow burn. So Apple TV Plus is going to Apple's going to be fine. There's no way because
did you see what their market cap is recently?
For that
1.4 trillion.
They hit 1.4 trillion.
Oh, you mean with their business? Oh.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're doing great.
No, I was too busy watching Tesla grow.
Yeah. Tesla
had
a crazy week.
Wrong podcast, Randy.
Wrong podcast. But
I'm sorry, we can't say the name here.
No.
Tim Cook is a business genius. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. And we're already seeing that with people's reception of the services, I think. And
Yeah,
they had a great. Is that Apple's over...
That's Apple's over the past 5 years. Basically just looks like
it's amazing how well they did right after Steve died. That's kind of the immediate thing I cut to whenever I hear people say, like, Apple is dead since Steve Jobs is gone. And I'm like, well,
no,
they seem to find products people enjoy and sell incredibly well. And then
Apple
they just go, well, it's because they're all stupid.
Apple stock
Steve,
on...
I believe Steve knew how much of a... of a jerk and an a-hole that he was, and I truly do believe
he knew
what he was doing by naming Tim, because he was... Because
when you're near, like, the end of your career or your life, you're probably thinking along the lines of, okay, we've made amazing products, we've done an amazing job with all the tech, we've done an incredible job, and now we just need to look at... Look at all these people that we've employed. Let's make sure that they'll be okay and all have jobs when I'm gone. So who should I put in charge? Should I put some, you know, someone just as crazy as I am who just wants to make things thinner? Or should I put someone in charge that's going to make sure everyone, you know, gets decent benefits?
He would not have put Johnny because Johnny's not a good business person. He's a good designer.
No.
He was, I remember from the books, Scott Forstall. He was he was pretty close with Steve, and unfortunately Scott was very similar to Steve in his neuroticness and how he would lash out. And that's Steve. I believe part of Steve's genius was he knew not to put another Steve there because everyone was going to compare, and you can't compare Tim Cook to Steve because they're nothing alike. The same energy, the same sexuality, you name it, nothing alike. Sorry.
One eats vegetables and fruit sometimes. And
you're not wrong.
But the thing is like he when he built his immediate team, yeah, I know. Let's take a moment to appreciate the genius of that delivery.
Well done.
When he built his core team, each person was supposed to be vastly different from one another, which is why great collaboration was to happen that way. He's like, I need people to butt heads because that's how we can find that perfect chemistry with it all. And I believe that Tim Cook, I felt at the beginning. Wrongfully, he was the wrong pick because I knew of his success of moving inventory with the old iMacs and stuff, how he was able to move all the just the pieces and he was able to update the assembly line and stuff like that. And I was like, all right. I mean, anybody could do that. If you put your application for new so-and-so at Apple, I think you could find 1,000 Tim Cooks and who could do the same thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we don't see the conversations that happens behind closed doors and, Tim's
there.
I think he's the greatest thing to ever happen to Apple, next to the founders
financially.
Creating them.
Yeah. From a financial sense, he made more sense for the era Apple now sits in. Whereas
better
Steve
him
made
than
more
Phil
sense for the
or Craig, and I love those guys.
Sure.
But Tim is it was the spot on right guy for the job.
I think if we had to pick one new product line that changed the game from a. Product line from that changed the game from a Tim Cook era would probably be either the Apple Watch or AirPods. So I guess we could just say wearables.
Yeah,
wearables was the pioneering invention from Tim Cook's era. You know, Steve had big ones like the iPad and the iPhone and the iPod.
Just
and,
like the
know,
iPhone.
We all know
and
that
Apple.
One.
And Apple.
The whole thing.
But you know what's crazy? The wearables was always going to be the future because I remember thinking a long time ago, like in 2014, I was like, "What's going to kill Facebook? Facebook killed MySpace. MySpace killed like there's this with people who attract
Mark Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg
killed Facebook.
But the concept of what it was like something mobile, something portable was going to replace. Something that was always stationary, like a computer or an iMac or whatever. You needed something that was always going to be mobile. And to put that technology on your person was so genius. And I can't credit, obviously it's not Tim by himself, but for them to be like, no, this is it. And I'm sure other Samsung, I'm sure they all thought about it too, but the way they were able to execute it in Apple was very revolutionary. You know, it's just, it was so spot on.
It was such an Apple-esque moment because it was not the first Bluetooth earbuds, but it was the one that paved the way. It was like it set the standard for what wireless earbuds had to be. But I had a question about AirPods for you that I ping-ponged around some streams a while back. Do you think my idea was they've got noise cancellation pretty decent. They got battery life pretty good. We've got the universal fit. We got the customizable fit. One idea I think they should consider taking AirPods into 2020 is people lose them a lot.
Ooh.
Okay. What if we started
AirPods
embedding
for every person? Oh, better yet, strings that attach from the base of the AirPods to the case. And you can have a little clip inside your belly button that you just clip them onto
universal,
your belly button.
Universal AirPods for everyone. Yang Gang. Yes.
Mm-hmm. There we go. I vote for that candidate.
Universal AirPods.
Universal AirPods.
All right. Anyway, so what's your question
Universal
about the
basic
wrong
AirPods?
Podcast,
what
Drew.
If we started taking some of the hardware from the Apple Watch, like the GPS and the cellular capabilities, and started embedding them in the AirPods?
Okay. Well, this is something I thought long and hard about. I would wager that as the iPad has removed the need for many people's MacBooks, and the iPhone has removed the needs for many people's iPads, and the Apple Watch is starting to remove the need for some people's iPhones, the AirPods will one day remove needs of the Apple Watch. What I mean by that...
Rene Ritchie's talked about that.
All credit to you, Rene. Good job, but I've thought about this too, and I have my own thoughts on this. It's not all just kind
and
of
Nick,
based.
You both thought
good
about
job,
it separately.
So
go
happy
ahead.
For you.
Someone needs to tweet that, Adam, because I'm not going to remember too. Where was I going
So you
with
would
this?
Have Siri support, obviously, right?
Yes, Siri support, LTE, GPS. Basically, I want to be able to go on a run with just my AirPods. So that's
and they could stream podcasts
blood, yeah,
or music. Yeah,
streaming audio, whether podcasts or music. GPS with cellular and heart rate detection or something to biometrics.
Oh,
because they have passed patents for that. AirPods with heart rate monitors in them. Oh my God, you're right. This is what they're doing.
So
they're going to try to.
I'm
about because I already, get a lot of my notifications through my AirPods. You know, the text message comes in and Siri says, "From Drew,
this could be a new line.
Can you report a podcast tonight?" And then I just say, "No, I can't. Go do something else. I'm busy. I can't talk to you, Drew." And then Siri says, "Sent." And that's how I do notifications.
This could be a new lineup called Smart Pods. Or AirPods, because right now, if you want to add cellular to the Series 5,
Apple,
it's an extra $100.
We got a timestamp. Smart Pods. You said it first.
No, they won't do that. Money. Apple doesn't use the word smart anymore. That's
No, it's iPods.
iPods. That's the support for because I've heard of so many people losing them. If they had a GPS chip in them, not only, like you said, could you use them for activity workouts, because actually when I go do a run or if I go do a walk, I just if I go for a walk I just lift up the Apple Watch and talk to Siri and say start an outdoor workout.
Are you okay, Drew?
Okay.
Have you had a stroke? Are you gonna do? Oh, he needs to. He's leaving.
He's gone. Bye, we lost him, ladies and gentlemen. We lost him.
You better get back here. There's no show without you.
So you have your AirPods in your ear. You're ready to go for a run. So you just tell Siri, whether by holding the stem or tapping the AirPods,
just
whichever
saying,
you say.
That's the most convenient
by saying
part
it,
about it.
Yeah, I like the stem. But you say, start an outdoor run, and it says, you know, 3, 2, 1, start, and then you just do your run, and with GPS, it's able to track your location. Hey.
I look forward for when Drew makes a dedicated video about this next week.
Yep. He's going to do it before we get to upload it, today. Because that's what happened every other episode. There's like, we did the first episode of the EV podcast, we talked about like three things, and then...
I said in the podcast I was going to make a video on that. I wasn't wrong.
Can the podcast have room for growth, Drew? Jeez.
You guys can't act like... You can't act like there's so many topics to choose from. I can just never talk about anything on the podcast in video form.
I know we're your muse. I know we give you inspiration, and I can't wait to see the video about these AirPods tonight.
Yes,
and this will go up for the podcast. You're going to completely make the podcast irrelevant,
Randy. It's our job. We got to get this out sooner.
I mean, you chose Monday.
They're different forms, okay? Like, it's, you know, eating mashed potatoes is not the same as eating French fries. They're both potatoes.
Yeah, but what if our stomach thinks everything's mashed potatoes?
That's what I mean. We're getting your guys' opinions on it, whereas the video is just, you know, under 10-minute spitball.
It's basically all my opinions with your voice.
I just
want to
say,
I see. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
Very few and far between, very rarely in a blue moon, Nick has a very genius thought, and one where I'll be like, he's right.
Wow. Okay.
I am the one with the Randy stamp of approval sitting on my wall. So.
And I'm about to give you the second one if this goes through.
Ooh.
Listen.
You said that to him after he made you that custom play button? Wow. What a friend you are, Randy.
Hey.
I would never treat him that way if I had a wooden play button.
I cannot be bought out. But
I can. I can.
Look, Drew is dying for a wooden play. Look, Nick, I love all your ideas. Pick me, Nick.
Well, all I'll say, you better start filling out content on all your other channels so I have a good excuse to make this other play button.
So,
okay.
Go back to
our AirPods topic.
Yeah. I think Nick is spot freaking on about this. And
thank you, Renee.
If it's true, if that does happen, where we can actually, because every piece, the wearables, is not meant to be a standalone. It's meant to complement.
Mm.
And
yeah,
the idea that you don't need a screen, but you can still perform many functions within your ears. What if this is the the big wearable whatever instead of glasses? Like, they find a way to do that. But regardless, that's just me spitballing. But the idea that, like, yes, there are patents for it to do the reading, and it can be its own standalone to replace the watch, which is to replace the phone. And I say replace very loosely. It's to complement. I am so on board for that. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. And I'm upset that I haven't thought about that sooner. But I think you're absolutely right, Nick.
They'll be pricey, though.
I would pay $500. Sure. I would pay...
absolutely.
Almost, really?
I would. I'd pay $500 for it because the same way I would pay
would
what I pay for
that?
The watch. Huh?
When would you use it? Because
all the, time.
The watch is a lot easier to bring along with you than the phone. So, like, what's the situation
that's
where
true.
You're like, I don't want to have my my watch on me either?
Well, the
but
thing
I do
is,
want
no,
it
but
to
that's
be
the
connected.
Thing. I don't go with just my watch. I go with my watch and my phone. And the watch is just
too.
Meant to feed it quicker to me. And I'm a watch wearer. I'm a watch wearer anyway. The same thing. I walk around all the time forgetting these are in my ear. So it's already with me all the time. And I'm sure that by the time it would come out, they would have implemented a way to preserve the battery life so that way you don't hear boop, 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 and it's about to die. And it just hangs out with
you. That's probably the biggest issue with GPS or cellular is battery life.
Absolutely. Yeah. These tiny little things holding battery, no way. That'd be dead in 5 minutes.
107 milliamp hours or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's like
so
the Apple
once,
Pencil
once
loses
the
more
battery
charge.
For it, yeah, the battery is the only thing that's holding it back, but I would do it. I would wear it all the time, everywhere, because I do it anyway unintentionally, and I forget, and that's fine. The only time that I have to consciously not have them on me, and this is just job specific, is when I go into secure rooms, I have to take off all electronics. That's the only time. Otherwise, I'm always having my watch, my phone, my AirPods when I'm at a desk, when I'm working on anything that involves me to focus. I only focus when I have audible anything playing in my ear to help me just get the tasking done. And then when I'm just out riding a bike or if I'm going to the grocery store and whatever, I'm not doing it so I can be a hermit, like, leave me alone. Well, I just do it because it keeps me engaged and entertained. I think a lot of people, I see Nick all the time having his thing in his ear for no reason, but he does it and he owns it. He's like, oh yeah, I got it right here. Just always on the standby. A lot of people are more like that than, I don't need it on me, I believe. And so I think this is the proper evolutionary step to putting all that right there, and the only thing that's holding back is battery.
Okay. So can I pull an Elon Musk company that's not electric vehicle related into this conversation? Neuralink.
Sure. If it's related.
I am a large fan of Neuralink. I love their vision and where they want to go. I think right now the stuff they're working on, paralysis stuff for, you know, quadriplegics and stuff, all that. That has no
I was just talking about this yesterday.
That has no application to my life, so I'm all supportive of it. What I would like to see is basically an implantable AirPod, kind of, where like you can talk to it using your subconscious thought or something and hear stuff from it without anything, you know, with a little clip on your
ear. That's intimidating.
Like, well, okay. I know lots of people are creeped out at it, and that's fine. And that's totally fine. You don't, that I'm not going to force anything on you, but I would want, cause right now I'm wearing,
I think you're thinking about it the wrong way.
Okay.
That's not what Neuralink is, because Neuralink is when you're not asking or hearing or communicating with the technology. That's when you become one with the technology.
Yeah. Okay. That's
so.
Okay.
You're not thinking send this text messages. You're just saying say this.
I need to tell Randy that I don't want to record a show with him anymore because he doesn't like Neuralink. Yep. that's the end goal of it. I think it's going to start out as, you know, you're going to have to learn it. It's very much like learning how to ride a bike, is how people have described it. You're going to have to rewire your brain basically after it's installed and train yourself to use it
on a bike.
Neuralink is when your brain will communicate with technology the same way your brain communicates with your muscles. The same way you're not thinking about breathing or blinking or
About breathing or blinking. I have to think about
it. Or your heartbeat. Just stop your heartbeat real quick.
Okay, real quick. I'll be right back.
Just turn it off.
I wish to die.
Why doesn't the heart get tired?
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. But
it's called death.
It's called death. But it's a pretty good battery life.
Why doesn't the heart get tired? I just stood there like, why doesn't the heart get tired?
Why doesn't the rock get tired? You know,
ooh.
All good questions when it comes to muscles and how Randy's they podcast. Age.
Guys, this conversation is giving me anxiety.
Okay,
you will not, with your brain, look up questions or factoids. You will just know them.
That's the point I want to get to. Wikipedia article. I think it'll take a lot of training and work to get to that point because you have to wire your brain to interface that way. I think it'll probably. It doesn't really matter because it's all theoretical. But I think it'll be more like talking to Siri for the first while. Actively
is
prompting
it.
Siri was in your head.
Oh my goodness! This is not Talos of Ethics.
No. But what I mean is, like the idea that, like, how Drew just says, like, you're not searching; you will just know it because it's happening subconsciously. So you become the internet, effectively, essentially. At that point, you know
every bit of information that mankind has ever collected. It's just part of your memory now.
Oh my god!
There's books written about this. Me and my wife had a long talk about it last night. And she said that the person basically went into a coma because they could not, the human brain could not comprehend or fathom all of the information we'd ever recorded. So it would have to require both technological wiring and biological rewiring in order to get to the point where your brain doesn't just explode.
So
big brain.
Wrapping this all back to AirPods, though, I do walk around AirPods. 80% of the day with an AirPod in my ear, one of them either left or right. But what I've noticed is over the past how long have we had AirPods? 3-4 years? 2016, I guess, so almost 4 years. My ears have gotten like, I wear them too long, and so they get backed up, and so I just have to be conscious of.
He lost his first gen AirPods in there. They just his body kind of zoomed them just through the ear.
That's what Neuralink is. It just
earwax is eating the thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's kind of gross, but some days it'll be worse than others, and I have to like not wear AirPods that day because like I don't think it's an ear infection. Because like it's just I'm wearing them too much and my ears aren't breathing.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So what I would love to do is just have basically just all of the functionality of an AirPod just in my subconscious. Basically, would be great. That's what I want out of Neuralink. Now, if I knew the entire internet, that would be amazing. That would also be amazing. But I also don't want to go into a coma. Yes, sir.
Something way more lighthearted. Do you guys clean your AirPods?
Yes. Every day.
I use my Apple Pencil.
Gen 1 or Gen 2?
I don't know where my Gen 1 Apple Pencil is. I need to find it.
Oh, all right. Well, I
so Gen 2 to answer your question.
Well, thank you. I didn't. I would say every 3 days I'll give it a good cleaning in a way that like
oh, I'm 3 days?
Scratching. Every 3 days I'll
do
I'll
it
get
like
in there.
Right after I take them out.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I'll do a wipe down. I have a dedicated microfiber cloth. I'll do a quick wipe down, but like to get in there and I'll start like
the
something
case
pointy,
will
like,
build up.
Oh god, the case is the worst. It just gets lint.
Mm-hmm. Just get a toothbrush.
See, the that's great thing is, if you never leave the house, you can just leave your AirPods case on the desk and never have to put it in your pocket.
I'm pretty much that way. I mean, they don't go in my pocket that often, but they still collect lint. But it's always a good idea to have a dedicated tech toothbrush because it can clean ports very well as AirPods. So I'd recommend that to people.
That's the most DIY life hack. I'm going to go do
life
that after
hacks
this.
With Taylosive.
asterisk emotional parentheses not clickbait. So you know, I ask because I see a lot of people who don't clean it. I just see this permanent gunk ring around.
Yeah, I
the,
see it too.
See, like, I was like that though. I used to be like that. I just didn't care until like I started realizing that.
How
like,
could you put that back in your ear, ladies and gentlemen? Please clean your AirPods.
I didn't care before I was married because I was the only person who wore those AirPods. But once I before I was taken. Once I got a girlfriend, that's when I started cleaning them out because we would share them, and you know she would use them sometimes. But like, when I was single, I didn't give a
that's
crap.
That's like putting on the same old underwear. Who cares? No one else is going to wear them. No, you got to clean it.
You're saying that like I don't do that. You know, dirty underwear. Then you just flip them up outside out, inside out.
And another life hack. Sometimes flip them. There you go. Flip them out. When you're running,
I don't do that now as a married man, but no, I did never. Do that as a bachelor.
I would never have done that or socks or any, what? God, we're so gross. Thank
we're
you for listening, everybody.
This has been an interesting topic. I mean,
this has
we scripted nothing for this episode, by the way, guys. This was completely.
Could you tell?
Nothing. We had nothing planned.
We're like, so what's new?
We just went down the AirPods
route.
Well, because mm-hmm. I think AirPods, I believe, I go back and forth what you're talking about with Tim Cook and Apple Watch and AirPods. I think AirPods is the greater invention. Well, not invention, but you know,
they've kind of set themselves up for continuous success for a multitude of intentional and unintentional reasons. For one, they were really popular. They were really convenient, so tons of people bought them, and they liked how simple they were. So they got that down. The unintentional, it may have been partially intentional part, is that AirPods do not age very well because of their battery size, which means that within 2 years or more, they will slowly lose power on one instead of the other. And there's chemistry-wise, very little Apple can actually do about that. That's just an inherent design flaw of this truly wireless system, which means that people will be coming back every 2 to 3 years or so because they're going to die out or because the lithium, they don't offer a battery swap for individual AirPods. Within a year, they will replace one, but that's afterwards, you just have to buy new ones. And I think it's going to basically become a very consistent revenue stream for them because even people who don't need wireless charging or don't need noise cancellation are going to buy the base ones, love them, use them for 2 years, and then have to replace them again. So they're not like as long-term supported as the iPhone, where you can buy one and be like Nick's sister and have it for 7 years.
My goodness.
I know.
Yeah.
It's painful.
They can't do that with AirPods.
I think that I see it from a different point of view, but kind of this. I believe the AirPods are more successful in the sense that they're the better product because not everybody needs – and I say needs, you know, very subjectively, but not everyone would need to use an Apple Watch to unlock something or just to look at it. They can use it. Anything that's on – there's nothing exclusive about this that you couldn't do on your phone. As to where
that's the true.
AirPods, noise canceling, transparency, you have – everyone uses their ears for everything, and you can keep it very intimate to yourself. And you don't have to be blasting out loud. There are more use cases for AirPods than a watch. A watch is a great compliment, but there's nothing exclusive about this except closing rings. But I mean,
that's true.
That's very niche product. Everybody can use AirPods.
So here's another thought. Oh, go ahead, Nick.
So with the Apple Watch and AirPods, I've been getting a little bit more fitnessy, which is great. And a while ago, I didn't have access to a treadmill. Yeah, thank you. I know. Ooh, that's so much fun. Just
new
so much
year,
fun.
New year, who dis?
I know, exactly. It started in November, Randy. Not a New Year's thing. It's not new. okay, anyway, Nick, I didn't have access to a treadmill for like 10 days or a couple weeks or something. And so I was walking, like, outside. And the first time, I took my phone with me because I wanted to have my phone with me. And I, mm-hmm. as I was jogging down the street with this iPhone flopping around in my pocket, I was like, well, I have a cellular watch. I have AirPods. Next time, I'm going to try it with just that. And let me tell you, it is, while I know in my head I'm still connected, if someone called me, I know that it would still ring through on my watch and go to my AirPods. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even notice that I didn't have my phone on if someone called me. There's still some FOMO or something. It was so weird for the first few times to run with just the Apple Watch and AirPods. I was still streaming
music.
I found
it freeing.
And after a while, I ended up finding it freeing. And now I've been doing that without the phone because I enjoy that feeling of being a little bit detached. But the first few times, it was like, I know I'm connected, but I'm not connected enough. And then I
I'm not connected at all because I don't have the cellular option. So when I run, I'm fully disconnected.
What if someone texts you? You wouldn't be able to respond instantly.
Thank God.
I had that fear. I had that fear for a while until I went on run, you know, with GPS on, obviously, but that's I don't have the cellular Apple Watch plan. But I realized every time I did that, I never got a text.
That's true.
And I did it like 5 times in a row, and no one ever contacted me while I was running because you guys don't like texting me.
Lies! I guess that just means I have to text you more often, huh?
Without telling me. Lies! And hand each other play button. Anyway. Moving back to the main topic. Moving back to the main subject here.
Which is Neuralink.
If AirPods were to enable personal requests like sending...
I can taste how bitter it is
from here. I'm trying to stay on topic, guys. Come on.
How's that wooden play button, Randy?
So if AirPods did personal requests like send messages or track workouts and stuff, would they need some form of biometric?
Yes.
Ooh. No, I wouldn't say biometric. You can have two-step authentication without having...
What if they put Touch ID and it locked the lid closed?
No way. No way. No. I would say geographical verification and maybe a PIN or a voice. Something. There's different ways you can authenticate that are two-step authentications without one being...
Should you be able to lock them from your phone and
watch? Like the Apple Watch unlocks?
The moment they actually get something that's a two-way communication that is...
If they had cellular on them, you could go to find my iPhone app and just be like, lock AirPods, you know, like they don't work anymore.
Yes. The moment it's not just input, but it has output, you should be able to shut it down, do whatever you got to do to get to preserve your security, your privacy on it, for sure. The same way with the watch, I think you should be able to do that. Just on a security level, you should be able to do that. Yeah.
Because I think Apple cares about privacy. I just have that feeling. I don't know if they really do, but...
I mean, iCloud. You never know about iCloud.
It's definitely good for PR.
Because we know Facebook Randy is definitely 100% trustworthy.
That's true. I would trust Facebook with my life. But Randy knows the actual security.
He does.
We really have with our devices because he's certified, and we are all screwed.
Well, we are just less screwed with Apple, but no, anything that's made by humans, everything is flawed. And there is always a workaround.
Except unless it's made by Johnny Ives. At which point Johnny Ives' designs are perfect and no flaws exist within them.
Is it weird that I had that thought when my phone was getting really hot that the NSA was just using it to spy on me? Because no apps were open, so that was my theory. I was like, maybe they're watching me right now, so I started looking in at the camera.
It was indexing, I guarantee.
I would say definitely have... be more worried of all your cameras over audio. visually it's better to collect data on what you can see. Besides keylogging, keylogging is very, very common, and it's very easy to keylog, even remotely, which is why in one
I don't have cameras pointed at anything personal, luckily.
Good. Yeah, that's good. And thank God for that.
We have security cameras. But the security cameras are not.
Yeah, the security cameras are here completely compromised. 100%.
They're not pointed at anything personal. They're all exterior cameras.
If your server for your cameras aren't locally in your house, nothing's sacred. Nothing's private.
All I'm saying is there's nothing. NSA can look at those. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
All they're seeing is our yard. They can see what's outside our house.
There's no cameras pointed inside. Might be enough for some creepy people on the internet.
That's fine. Yeah, hey, you know, just don't watch me sleep, and we're good. And I don't have any cameras pointed in our... I don't think we have any cameras in our bedroom. So we're good.
There, keep the bedroom pure, because that is...
And the living room.
That's
nothing,
good.
Nothing pointed at the living room.
Your smart TV is there, and yeah.
That has no camera
it's
or mic on
it, though.
It's
listening to you.
It doesn't have, you don't have the play, blah,
no,
blah,
it's
blah.
Not, it's not that kind of Roku, no. It doesn't have a mic. I wish it did. I'd be okay if the NSA listened, if I could have them
dictation. It is connected
dictation.
To the internet in the sense that you can sign into applications and stuff, right?
It has internet access, but no camera or mic, so they can't do much with it. They can see what we're watching, but I'm fine with that.
And they you know how like Apple TV has like Twitter and Amazon and all those silliness? Yeah.
We do have the Apple TV. That has a mic on it.
Why don't you use your Apple TV more?
I don't like that thing. It's annoying. Mostly because of YouTube, though. I think we've talked about this
on
the
podcast.
Did. YouTube's designed their app horribly on the Apple TV, so it's not really Apple's fault. But it works better on the Roku device for whatever reason. Like, the scrubbing and skipping is not as easy. And they had a decent YouTube app a long time ago, and then they decided to give it the basic, you know, Xbox layout. And it doesn't work well with the trackpad at all. I hate it. So... we very rarely use it. We use the Roku pretty much for all of our TV consumption, but we're actually going to do a challenge next week where we don't watch anything for like 7 days.
Ooh.
We're going to see how that goes. We like the challenges. We like putting ourselves up to things, see if we could quit whatever for however long. We'll see.
Can you quit breathing? That's the question. Quit breathing for 1 week.
I can quit my heart beating.
Wow.
See?
What I was going to say, Drew, is you going off of this challenge and not being watching anything, you're going to come back so wise and you're going to be like a monk. You're going to reach enlightenment. You're going to be everything. Just like, guys, I have my third eye. I'm woke.
And it's
I just
Neuralink.
Stopped watching TV for a week and then everything made sense. I am unplugged.
Ooh,
The Matrix.
Yeah.
I'm is glad it reloaded, someone though? That.
Yeah. Oh, I'm unplugged. I love those movies. And the fact that they're going to make a fourth one, I can't wait.
There is no AirPod. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening. We will catch you all in the next one. Take care. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
This has been a fun episode, completely off the wall.
Bye.